me. I had to preach loud this morning, so that's fine with me. But I'm thankful to be in church this morning again. I've been blessed this morning. I know all of us have problems in here this morning, but all of us got clothes on our back, amen? Looks like it at least. All of us got shoes on our feet. All of us probably had some breakfast this morning, maybe. There's a bunch of people in the world this morning that didn't wake up with food. They didn't wake up with clothes on their back. And I'm thankful the Lord's blessed us with that. Paul said, with food and raiment, I'm to be content. And we got food and clothes this morning. So I thank the Lord for blessing me. I've been blessed this morning because the Lord's been so good to me. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 is where we'll be for a short time this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 is where we'll be. And I'll bring you up to date of what's been going on here in the book. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find that the period of the judges is just about to be ended, where the Bible says that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And if I'm judging the world correctly, that's the time we're living in right now. To where every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. When 1 Samuel comes on the scene where we find this book, we find that the people of God and the people of Israel are going to a place called Shiloh, to where the tabernacle is, to worship the Lord at least once a year. And we find in the beginning verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 1, a man named Elkanah comes on the scene. Now Elkanah has two wives, and somebody say God bless him right there. One's called Hannah, and the other was named Penina. Now the Bible informs us that his wife named Penina has had him children before. But then the Bible informs us that this woman named Hannah, the Lord has shut up her womb, and she can't have children. Now them three have gone to worship the Lord in this place called Shiloh. And they've gone to eat, just like you and I would do. And the Bible says, in verse number 8 is where we'll begin. Verse number 8 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The Bible says, then said Elkanah her husband to her Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, which is Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice wasn't heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And that's where we'll stop this morning. May God add His blessing to His Word this morning. In the very moments in Hannah's life that we just read, Hannah has had just about all that she could take. Hannah has had just about all that she could take. Worry, uncertainty, and doubt has flooded her mind and has flooded her soul. Because in the days in which Hannah is living, to not have a child means that you're an outcast in society. If the women back in those days didn't have a child, that means that they were not favored by God, and nobody really liked them, and no husband wanted them, really. So Hannah, in this moment that we've just read, is worried to death that she'll never fit in, that her husband won't love her the way that she wants him to, and it's just about to kill her. And what Hannah is dealing with this morning in the passage that we read is a little thing called worry, called anxiety and worry, if that's what you want to call it. This worry had made Hannah sorrowful, as we see in verse number 15. She said, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. In verse number 10, the Bible says that she was in bitterness of soul when she was weeping sore before the Lord because she was so worried. This worry had absolutely crippled Hannah, and it had ruined every day that she woke up because that's all she could think about. And this morning, there's no doubt that at least one person in here is worried about something. And that worry has consumed you so that the past week, the past month, the past year, it's just about to ruin your life. And you've walked in here this morning, and you've had just about all that you can handle. And you don't know if you can make it any longer. Hannah had done what I like to do most of the time. She had taken this worry and she had gripped it so tightly in her hands that it nearly began to kill her. And most of the time, the reason why hospital beds are filled this morning is the effects of worry and anxiety in a person's life. Because worry and anxiety is one of the biggest killers that we have in this world today. Worry, what is worry? Worry is a state of uncertainty over actual problems or a state of uncertainty over potential problems. In the next 5 minutes, I could sit up here and work myself into the biggest panic attack that I could ever have. Because I could think about all the stuff that could happen in the next week in my life. It probably won't even happen. And I could work myself into a panic attack just in 5 minutes if I wanted to, over stuff that could potentially happen in my family, in this church, and in this world, and in my own life, if I wanted to. But it amazed me this morning, and I was reading, that in verse number 10 of the passage that we read, the Bible says that Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and everybody can tell. In verse number 15, the Bible says that she was of a sorrowful spirit, and everybody could see it. But something happened in verse number 18. The Bible says that she said her prayer. She got done praying and then she walked out of the tabernacle and her countenance was no more sad. Something amazing in this passage happened that passes our understanding. Hannah just inherited a little word called peace. Hannah just received peace into her heart. And if there's one thing that people around this world are searching for this morning as they woke up, was one word called peace. And you can't go to Target and find it. It can't be bought. It can't be won in a prize. There's a man named Jesus that offers it to every single one of us. And there's at least one person in here this morning that's looking for peace. And that's what I want to preach on this morning for the next few minutes. Who wants a peace? Who wants a peace? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the ability to come into your house and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, I just pray that as we begin this service, Lord, I pray that you'll just be with whatever's said and done. Father, I'm thankful for your presence that we already feel in this place. Thankful for the singing that's already took place. And Father, I just pray that in the rest of this service, Lord, just in the next few minutes, I pray that your spirit would be able to move throughout your people's heart. They'll be able to find peace, Lord, that when they walk out of this place, they'll know that you've met with them. And God, they'll walk out different than when they walked in. Lord, we just thank You for all that You've done and all You're going to do, and we give You all the praise and glory for it. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But I believe in Philippians chapter 4, Paul describes to us exactly what happened in Hannah's life. In verse number 18. Paul says in Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In verse number 18 of the passage that we read, Hannah had just received the promise of the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I got to thinking, the Bible is a word that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Paul had to say that the peace of God that passes all understanding, even the Holy Spirit couldn't come up with a word to describe this peace. Because he said it's just something that passes all understanding. And that's what peace is this morning. And that's what Hannah went through. Something that didn't make sense in her life, but she experienced it. And all of you are wondering this morning, well, how am I supposed to experience that peace in the midst of the problems that I'm going through this morning? And Paul gives us a simple formula this morning, if we'll just take it at face value. Number one, if you want a peace, you've got to give your situation to God. You've got to give your situation to God. He says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He draws a contrast there. He says, don't be anxious for nothing, but everything, pray about it. Do we pray about everything? I'll answer that. No. We don't pray about everything. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Rather pray about everything. Because the fact is this morning that peace and worry are two things that can't be put together. You're either peaceful about something or you're worried about something. You can't be in the middle. And as I said earlier, I like to do what Hannah did most of the time and take a strong grip on my worry and not let it go. And when a situation comes up in our life, a problem comes up in our life, we've got the decision to make right then to worry about it, or say, I'm just going to give this to God and let Him take care of it. Peace is mentioned over 418 times in your Bible. So that means it's something we better pay attention to. The word peace in the Bible means to be bound or joined together to something. Bound or joined together, just like that, when you come together with something. Do you know what the word worry or anxiety means? Anybody? Pulled apart. That's what worry means in your Bible. To be pulled apart. See, when you and I are experiencing the peace of God, we're in togetherness with God. We're with God. We're walking with God, just like this. But then a problem comes up. And you know what happens? It just creeps right on in here. And what Justin likes to do is just grab onto it and grip it just like that. So that next time you try to experience that peace, it don't fit together. Because peace and worry, they cannot go together. And we carry around a lot of things this morning that God never intended for you and I to carry around. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And when we take this worry and we grip it in our hands, we carry around a weight every single day that'll ruin every day that you wake up. Think about a situation that you're worried about. What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? What you're worried about. When you go to work, what you don't think about. When you go to sleep, praise God, you got 8 hours where you don't think about it unless you have a dream about it. And then you wake up the next morning. It's a big merry-go-round. And it never ends. Because you got a so strong grip on it, and we don't let it go. And if we keep on carrying around things that God never intended for us to carry around, we'll not be the people that He wants us to be. We'll not do the things that He wants us to do. Because it'll ruin our life that He wants us to have. You say, but I know you're saying just give it to God, but how do I give it? How do I just give it to God? Paul says to pray. Paul says to pray. Prayer is the answer when we need peace in our life. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I can tell you this morning how terrible it is to be worried about something and to walk around with it every single day. But I tell you the thing that you have to do or it'll ruin your life. You've got to get down on your knees and pray about it. And say, God, I can't handle this anymore. I've tried to handle it. I've tried to fix it. I've done everything in my own power to do what I can, and it's the exact same. And you know what He'll do? He'll give you the exact same promise that He spoke right there. He says, if you let it go, you know what I'll do? I'll take your worry and I'll give you my peace. What kind of a trade-off is that? God said that He would take our worry, He would take our anxiety, He would take our problems, He would take all the things that we're going through, and He'll say, if you let it go and bring it up to me, I'll throw down some peace that passes all understanding. And let me tell you, when that happens, you won't be able to explain it. Paul couldn't explain it. And I've experienced the same exact thing. Hannah's circumstance did not change from verse 10 to verse 18. Nothing changed except something on the inside of her changed. And the fact is, most of the time we wait around for our circumstances to change to say, well, maybe I'll get peace then. But your circumstance does not have to change in order for you to get peace. Because peace does not come from a circumstance. Peace comes from a person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right in the midst of that circumstance. You've got to give it to God and let Him take care of it. Because some of you this morning have walked in here for 6 months and you've had a problem. And in December, it was the same exact way as it is right now. Because the fact is, sometimes things on the outside of us just ain't gonna change. I hate to say that, but it's true. Sometimes our situations, our problems, they just don't change on the outside. So you've got to determine that something on the inside got to change. Because if I'm going to have to live with this for the next 30 years, God's going to have to give me the strength to do it. And He'll give you the peace right in the midst of it. And it'll be the most overwhelming sense of peace that you could ever have. I've got a friend that goes to my church and she's got cystic fibrosis. And the stats say that she ain't got long to live. But I saw her one night stand up and say, I feel bad for saying this, but I've got peace about it. I've got peace about the fact that if I don't get a transplant in 10 years, I'm going to heaven. And she's walking around right now with the peace of God that passes all understanding in the midst of that. That may not change. Because that's what God does. If you just come to Him and give it to Him, but Paul says to do it with thanksgiving. Tell Him thank you for taking this. And go ahead and thank Him on credit for sending peace your way. Number one, you've got to give your situation to God. But listen to this. How many times have I come down to this altar at my church and gave a situation to God and I felt peace about it, and then I went back home and I opened the doors of my home and guess what happened? The problem popped right back up. And it was like nothing happened down here. Why? Because although we get peace, Paul gives us steps to be able to keep peace. To be able to keep it. See, you'll get it down here. When you go back home and you face the same thing, you don't have to learn how to keep the peace. It passes all understanding in your heart. Paul says in verse number 8 in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." See, once you get down on your knees and you pray and you give it all to God, what's going to happen is the battle in your mind is going to start right then. Because that's exactly where the battle starts every single morning, is in your mind. And the one thing the devil does not want you to have is peace. And the one thing that he'll do to take away that peace from you is get in your mind, tell you a bunch of lies, fill you with a bunch of stuff that he wants you to think about instead of what God wants you to think about. Paul says in order to obtain this peace, in order to keep this peace, in order to maintain this peace, you've got to think on these things. Meditate on these things. Keep your mind on these things. What things? Things that are true. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "These things saith he that is holy and he that is true." Something that's true is Jesus. Think on the things that are honest. I can't think of a more honest person than Jesus. Think on things that are just. As Stephen's about to die, in Acts chapter number 7, he calls Jesus the just one. Things that are pure. I can't think of a more picture perfect picture of purity than Jesus Christ. Things that are lovely. Solomon in Song of Solomon calls our Lord altogether lovely. And he says, think on things that are of a good report. I can't think of a better report than the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul says to think on these things. Because listen, you cannot control what comes into your mind. It is downright impossible to control what comes into your mind. Because if I said pink elephants right now, you're thinking about pink elephants right now, aren't you? You're picturing a big pink elephant. Because usually what you hear, usually what you see, is going to come into your mind right then. You can't control what comes in your mind. You can certainly control what stays there. You can't control what comes in, but you can control if it stays or not. Because one preacher said, you got about 5 seconds. When that thought comes in, you can control it, or it can control you. How many of you wake up and have one thought the first time you wake up in the morning, and that thought controls you for the next 12 hours? Because we can either control our thoughts or it can control us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He says every thought ought to be brought into captivity in order that it may be obedient to Christ. We can fool everybody on the outside and say that our walk and our talk's obedient. But how about our thoughts? That's a scary thought. To think if our thoughts are obedient to Christ or not. One preacher said if you could take the thoughts that you thought in one day and they had to be wrote on your clothes or wrote on your body and you had to walk around and everybody got to see them, would you be ashamed of it? I'll say amen, I would. Because our thoughts sometimes are pretty wicked. But the fact is this morning that our thoughts eventually are going to lead to actions. If you think about it long enough, you're going to eventually do it. And what do actions lead to if you keep doing those actions? Habits. And what do habits lead to? The person you are and your character. That's just the fact of this life. Whatever you do, that's eventually what you're going to become. And if you want your character to be fashioned after the Lord Jesus Christ, you know where it all starts? Right there. In your mind. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think the way that Christ thought. only under the power of the Holy Spirit. To let the Holy Spirit take control of our mind and our thoughts in order to keep the peace that we found in prayer to God. And number three, and I'm almost done. Paul says in verse number 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now this book right here, this letter written to the church at Philippi, you know where Paul was writing it? Anybody? In prison, in Rome. And Paul just said to this church, he said, I've learned wherever I'm at, whatever I'm going through, to be content with it. While he's chained up to a guard, down in a hole, he said, I've learned wherever I'm at, whatever I'm going through, that I'm content with it. Because Paul learned that it didn't matter what his circumstances were around him. The contentment wasn't found in circumstances. Contentment wasn't found with what's going on around here. Contentment was found right here in the person of Jesus Christ. That's where contentment is found this morning. 1 Timothy, I mentioned it already this morning. Chapter number 6, Paul told Timothy, he said, if you've got food and you've got clothing, you need to be content, Timothy. And that's a hard thing to grasp. Because most of the time we're not content with 50 pairs of clothes and food whenever we want it. Paul said to be content. But you know, I believe Paul's secret to peace, and musicians, you can come on forth. I'm just about to close. I believe Paul's secret to this peace was in verse number 4 of Philippians 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything's going your way. Rejoice in the Lord when everything's good in your life. He said rejoice in the Lord always. Because so often you and I find our rejoicing in what's going on around us. And if we're only rejoicing in what's going on around us, we're not going to rejoice very much at all. Paul said rejoice in the Lord because there's one thing in this world that never changes, and that's the Lord. Peace does not mean that you won't have problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. Do you get that? Peace doesn't mean that you won't have problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. Now, I'm going to tell this illustration right here and I'm done. There was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists entered the contest, and the king looked at every single picture. But there was only two that the king really liked, and he chose them. One picture was a calm lake. It was beautiful. It was a lake that was a perfect mirror. Peaceful mountains were all around it. Overhead was a beautiful blue sky with big white fluffy clouds. And all who saw this picture said, that's a perfect picture of peace. The other picture the king picked, it had mountains too, but these mountains were rugged and they were bare, and above it was an angry sky from which rain fell and lightning flashed down and a big storm was around. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. The people looked at it and said, this didn't look peaceful at all. Why would you pick this? But when the king looked closely, he saw that behind the waterfall, a tiny bush was growing in the rock. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. And there in the midst of that nest, that bird was just sitting there just a-singing. In the midst of the rushing, angry water and the storm that was all around her. And that bird was sitting there in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won? The king said, I will pick the second picture. Because peace doesn't mean to be in a place where there's no noise, no trouble, or no hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace this morning. And God wants to offer each and every one of you peace this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but I can assure you there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what you're going through. And if you're looking for peace this morning outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't look. Because you won't be able to find it in a bottle. You won't be able to find it in a TV. You won't be able to find it in music. Praise God, we can find it in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You this morning for the ability to come into Your house, Father. And I just pray for everybody in here who's going through something, God. I pray that they'll walk out of this place knowing that there's peace to be offered through Your Word, through Your presence, and through Your promises. So God, we just thank You this morning for Your Word. And if we just take it, Lord, for what it says, God, if we'll just pray about everything, You said that You'll exchange our worry for Your peace. God, help us as we go home to think on the things of this Word, think on the things of heaven, think on the things of Jesus Christ, that we may be able to keep that peace in the midst of our work, in the midst of our busyness, Lord. And we just thank You so much. I pray that You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. If anybody needs to come forward and join the church, I pray that they would do that today. And Lord, I just pray that if anybody needs to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul, that they might have peace with You and reserve their home in heaven, God, I pray today would be the day. Lord, we just thank You and we bless You for all that You've already done. And we just ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would all stand this morning.